This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Sin acknowledges and pays respect to the owners of the land, the House of Sin and Studios Stand, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. Sin also acknowledges and pays respect to the elders and traditional owners of the lands our content reaches, as well as the radio stations we broadcast from across the country.
Let's get ready to get serious.
Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, the 8th of October, and it is time for Get Serial. It is 1 minute past six. It is a pretty cool morning here in Melbourne today, but hopefully it's going to be a good one. I am Tom. I will be joined in the studio by Emily shortly, and we will be your Tuesday host. Sorry, my microphone just dropped out there. We've got heaps of great stuff planned for you over the next 10 weeks, including some fun segments about On This Day in History, as well as the news that's happening in the world, what it's like being an adult, and all that fun stuff there. So, yeah, plenty to look forward to. But first up, we might head to Sleater-Kinney with their song A New Wave. This is Get Serial on Sin on 90.7 and across Australia on your digital radio.
Cheaper than a smashed avocado and turmeric latte.
Get Serial, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sin 90.7.
Sister of the Higher Love there by Honey. Before that, it was Tuesday Brunch, quite fittingly, with their song Love Your Skin. And before that, it was Sleater-Kinney with A New Wave, kicking us off on this Tuesday morning. You are listening to Get Serial with Tom and Emily, who has joined us in the studio.
Yes, hello, everyone. I am here. I have arrived.
Indeed, you have. Now, because this is my first show since season two and Emily's first show as host here on Get Serial, we thought, you know, we'd do a little bit of speed dating with you, our listeners, so that you could get to know us. But now, first of all, we should say we are both foreigners to the lovely city of Melbourne, where our studios are based. I'm from country Victoria, and Emily, you are from Western Australia.
Yeah, I'm from Perth, Western Australia. So not even a little bit close to Melbourne, if I'm to be perfectly honest. And really, the reason this came up, everyone, is that we were talking about why I was so late for uni yesterday. That's because my laptop didn't update to daylight savings time, and I wasn't expecting it to. I didn't realise it was daylight savings time yet because my little Perth heart has not accepted that daylight savings exists yet.
Are you struggling to adjust, Emily?
It's been 4 years, and for long, long years, and I can't do it. Now I have to do more math in my head, so now Perth is 3 hours behind, and I'm like, I don't know, I can't do math with odd numbers. Another thing about me.
Well, speaking as a Victorian, Emily, I have to say I cannot stand daylight savings at all. You know, having to adjust your clocks back and then forward again once it hits April, it's just a huge inconvenience.
It's far, far too much.
It is way too much effort. But coming from Perth, Emily, what are some differences between your hometown and Melbourne that you've noticed in the time you've been here?
So for me, the biggest a difference would be the lifestyle changes I've had to undergo, mainly that I grew up 5 minutes from a beach, and my beach wasn't the best beach, you know. It had white sands, but it wasn't as white, and it had turquoise waters, but, you know, there was a little bit of cloudiness sometimes. But that version of a bad beach for me, I come to Melbourne, I go to the beach my very first day because I'm like, I have to, I'm from Perth. Oh my God, I've never been to the beach since. I can't. The beaches here look like Perth's Swan River. So I can't. But I used to go to the beach every single day. That was part of my exercise. I had to find a new exercise routine.
You know, when I went over to Perth, I was quite baffled by how clear the water was. And then it was explained to me that there aren't many rivers running into the Indian Ocean. Whereas here in Victoria, we've got heaps of rivers which are running into the Bass Strait. And of course, it's a huge shipping lane, which is why there's so much filth in our water here and why the beaches aren't as clean.
Yeah, the Swan River is probably the only one running in. Actually, now that I think about it, I never even thought about that. But the Swan River itself is also just cleaner than the Yarra, I've noticed.
Yeah, for sure.
By a lot. Like, things are alive in there. It's crazy.
It's amazing because you go just a few kilometres upstream of the Yarra and it's just a stream. It's just really clean flowing water, and then you get about a couple of k's down and then it just becomes really filthy all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's terrible. I'm going to be honest. Like, no offence, Melbourne, but I was disgusted the first time I came here, which was actually, first time I came here would have been 2011, and I was just shocked, absolutely appalled.
But with that said, the rest of the city is beautiful.
Oh, absolutely gorgeous. I'm loving all the art. That's another difference. There's just art everywhere, whereas in Perth, it's only recently that they've started doing murals and things.
And I understand that in your CBD, there's no cinema. Is that right?
Okay, there is one. There is a single one, and I've never, ever been, because that's one key difference. You don't go to the CBD in Perth. That's not where the things are. That's not what you do. Like, if you're going to the CBD, it's for a very specific purpose, mainly work. When you hang out in Perth, you go to the outer suburbs. So you go along the coast, so Cottesloe and Claremont, or you go to Fremantle. Like, I've been back to Perth many, many times since moving away, and I've been back to the CBD once, and that was to donate blood. So,
well, I guess they call it the Central Business District for a reason.
It's supposed to be working, Melbourne. Like, what are you doing hanging out and shopping in the CBD? Terrible.
Yeah, but that's one thing that really struck me when I visited Perth, though, because here in Melbourne, you can just go to a cinema. Well, there's like 3 or 4 cinemas within walking distance of here in our studios. So, yeah, it's quite extraordinary stuff. And speaking as a country kid, you know, sometimes this city can be a bit overwhelming, particularly when it's busy. Like, we have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to make our way to the studios, and I was amazed at how much traffic there was this morning.
I know. Yeah. Like, every time I leave that early, I'm just like, why are you out? I know why I'm here. Why are you here?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's absolutely baffling stuff. We might go to another song break now. Emily, what have we got coming for us now in our playlist?
So, what we have coming for us now is Gold by the Boys, I believe.
Indeed it is. You are listening to Get Serial on Sin.
Sin, where young people run the show.
And that was Better Than This by Kitchen Boy. And before that, you heard Gold by the Boys. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. And we're going to talk about what happened while you were sleeping.
Indeed we were. So this is one of the regular segments we'll be having on Get Serial Tuesdays, because lots of news happens overnight. And as you're waking up, sometimes you might want to know what that news is. And this is pretty big news, actually, because while you were sleeping, there was what was known as the Extinction Rebellion movement, holding a worldwide protest in cities all over Europe, including Madrid, London, Berlin, Amsterdam, and Budapest. There were also rallies in New Delhi and New York City. The Extinction Rebellion, you might be familiar with it. They were in Melbourne yesterday. Yes. A few people got arrested. There were also arrests in Sydney. It's been happening in Brisbane for the past few weeks as well. And apparently they're planning protests for the next 2 weeks as well, Emily.
Yes, I'd heard about the 1 week. So the 2 weeks I was a bit surprised at. But I'm very excited for it. I love protests. I love them so much, especially this particular one, because climate change is an issue I'm quite passionate about. Not sure about you.
Oh, yeah. I think just about every young person is, because, you know, we're going to have to live with the consequences of a warming planet, and we don't know what that's going to look like, and that's what scares us.
Absolutely terrifying, because I have seen the reports being like, Melbourne's going to be having 50-degree days in the next 10 years.
I can barely stand 30 degrees, so, you know, 50 degrees is just absolutely going to destroy me. I can just tell now.
I have had a 50-degree day before. I've experienced that, and I'll tell you right now, it's not fun.
No,
it's not an enjoyable time.
Was it a humid 50-degree day or a dry 50-degree day?
No, it was a WA 50-degree day, so it was very, very dry as you sweated. It all just evaporated immediately.
Oh, goodness me. I wouldn't be able to cope with that at all. But for those wondering, the Extinction Rebellion had its origins in the United Kingdom. They did a lot of protests on bridges in London. And what struck people was how polite they were. We're like, we're sorry for the inconvenience, but if we don't protest, the planet is going to die. I'm sorry. And, yeah, it's been inspired partially by the protests in Hong Kong, which have been happening for the past 11 or 12 weeks now.
Yeah, they've been going on for quite a while. It's something else that probably did happen overnight.
Indeed. So lots of stuff which has been happening in Hong Kong. I know Asian Pop Nation, they've been covering it heaps. That's, of course, our Asian pop show on Tuesday nights here on Sin. And it actually got to the point where the presenters, they got sick of talking about it because, oh, it's still going. What more can we have to say? But no, Hong Kong, just as fascinating, really.
Oh, yeah. All the pro-democracy stuff, very into it. Very here for it. The mask ban, though, that was the most recent update from that. Carrie Lam trying to ban masks, which is just so undemocratic. Like, these people are trying to protect their identities as they try to defend something that's very important to them. And to try stop them from doing that using a colonial era law seems so wrong.
I bet you that Carrie Lam loves the irony, though. I mean, she's this pro-China leader or chief executive that has been installed, and she's using a British rule to overpower the protesters.
It's like, I love China so much, I'm going to start using British laws. You're welcome. It's like, thanks, Ms. Lam.
I bet that the protesters are feeling a bit conflicted too. It's like, you're imposing this rule on us, but it's a British rule, so that's okay, like, I guess.
Well, maybe. Maybe they should start just using Hong Kong laws and just have their own democracy. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be a bit controversial.
Go on.
I'm going to be very controversial.
It's before 7 o'clock, so you're allowed to be controversial.
Oh, there's a time limit of me being controversial. Oh, that's going to be an issue coming into the show. Well, controversially, I think that China should have no say in Hong Kong at all, and I think Hong Kong should be entirely independent.
Well, they already are an independent state, you've got to remember, because they've got their own currency, they have mostly free democratic elections, they drive on the left like Australia does, whereas China drives on the right, so they are, for all intents and purposes, a sovereign state in all but name.
Yeah, but I think it should be in name as well, because there is that deadline where they are supposed to eventually become part of China.
That's true. So in 2047, which is 50 years after the Hong Kong handover, they are supposed to become a fully integrated Chinese city. And I don't see how it's going to work, given how many differences there are between the two cities at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. People in Hong Kong have experienced far too much freedom to then just happily jump into the lack of freedom that's experienced by a lot of people in China.
And that's another reason, or another similarity rather, between the Extinction Rebellion movement and the Hong Kong movement, because it's driven mostly by young people who are fearful of what the future holds.
And it's just so valid in this current climate for all the young people to be scared, because you even see it in a lot of young people in Australia, which is the way our democracy is working. Like, people are genuinely scared of the Liberal National, like, coalition, which... relatable.
Yeah, and there are some scared of Labour too, and the Greens of what they do. So, you know, there's a lot of fear right now.
So much fear.
So much fear. Now, of course, we want to hear your views on this as well. You can contact us through all the social media channels with the handle @GetSerial. And, of course, we've got a Facebook page as well. You could even send us a sneaky DM on Messenger if you like.
I love a sneaky DM.
Don't we all? But right now, we're going to be playing for you, Hear You by Sweater Curse. This is Get Serial on Sin with Emily and Tom.
Get Serial, just like a chocolate milkshake, only crunchy. Which probably suggests that there's something wrong with your milkshake and you should take it back and demand a refund. Don't buy a milkshake from there again, probably.
I Know Leopard there with All That She Cared About Before That. It was Don't You Worry by Electric Fields. Bit of a throwback there. And before that, it was Hear You by Sweater Curse. This is Get Serial with Tom and Emily. And we're going to be talking about a big news story, which happened just yesterday. If you were following the news, you might have heard that Nationals MP Emma Keely, who's the member for Lowen in the Victorian Parliament, she was attending a event in Neil, which is in northwest Victoria, and the mayor of Hindmarsh Shire introduced her as not, you know, Emma Keely, Lowen MP, Shadow Minister for Women. He introduced her as the best looking politician in Victoria, quote unquote.
It makes, as a woman, it makes my blood curl. I can't.
Well, you're not the only one, Emily, because there was a fellow female councillor on Hindmarsh Shire, Wendy Bywaters, who said it was demoralising, and she said it made me feel inferior like a little girl.
Yeah, and there's such a history of it too with, like, women MPs where they're just fully judged by how they look. Like, absolute throwback to Julia Gillard, who, as Prime Minister, was constantly being criticised for what she was wearing, as if that matters literally at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And her appearance as well. Like, every time she changed her hairstyle, people would just comment on that as well. It got to the point where her policies just didn't matter anymore and they were just able to find any other way of criticising her, which was disappointing. But we do have a response here from the mayor, Ron Ismay. He said he did offer an apology to Ms. Keeley, but he couldn't quite understand what all the fuss was about. He said his excuse was he was 66. He was just paying her a compliment. But he did say, in her defence, like the bullying and intimidation of the fellow councillor who spoke out was, you know, a little bit nasty, and he couldn't quite understand why that happened. And this is a common theme, it would seem, with councillors in Victoria, because recently in my hometown of Bendigo, Yvonne Wrigglesworth spoke out against the use of ring girls at a council-sponsored boxing match, and she was subject to all manner of hatred and trolling and abuse online, and it eventually got to the point where she resigned as councillor.
Which is just disappointing because we really need more women in those more powerful positions in order, because that's how equality happens, everyone. Like, you need the people represented in the parliament, and the fact that she's resigning over just a lot of hate for saying something that's very valid, because ring girls, I know a lot of them come out and be like, I find it very empowering, but watching that as a woman, it's not empowering at all. It's very objectifying, and it really, especially in an arena that's about violence and like masculinity, it's very much a thing where I'm watching it being like, oh yeah, women are objects. Like, we are there to be consumed by the male gaze.
And speaking as a bloke, I just find it kind of pointless these days.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've got all manner of other media you can consume that objectifies women, why do you need, you know, ring girls and nudity in films and all these sorts of things? It just baffles me why people think it's necessary. But, Emily, you were mentioning off-air as well that there was a similar incident involving sexism in New South Wales just recently.
Yeah, so three women from a New South Wales fire department all resigned within the space of 6 months recently because of really a campaign of sexual abuse and harassment against them that stems like all the way back in 2012 when they all started working there. And the thing is that they complained. So one of these women was groped. One of them was repeatedly asked for sex. And, you know, that's really uncomfortable. So she complained. And yet for the next 3 years, she was still being put on shifts with this guy, just the two of them, which is so, so uncomfortable. And when their complaints finally got heard, quote unquote, the solution was to segregate them into an old disused shed that was leaking and didn't have any access to computers. And they were told, oh, when there's an emergency, just go out in the driveway and shout, hey, boys, what's happening?
Oh.
Which, what the hell? They're firefighters. Like, that's so unsafe. And they would do that and apparently just get ignored. So they would go into emergencies being uninformed about what they're going into, which is just so dangerous for everyone involved. And eventually, they just felt the need to resign. And one of these women actually joined up in 2012 as part of a campaign aimed at getting more women into firefighting roles. And her message to women out there now is, if you're thinking about becoming a firefighter, don't.
What's particularly disappointing about this is we've come a long way as a society in helping to achieve gender equality, and then you hear stories like this and it just sends the movement like 10, 20 years backward.
It's extremely disappointing, and like, I'm also coming at it as a woman, so I'm always just like, every time something good happens, like, yeah, love it, and then immediately after that, it's like, oh, no, bad. Okay.
We'll move on to cheerier stuff after this song break. You are listening to Get Serial with Tom and Emily. And what song have we got coming up right now?
Oh, coming up right now, we have Levels by Rebecca Hatch.
Sin, where young people run the show.
And that was Truly Madly Sleepy by The Flowers. Before that, you heard Levels by Rebecca Hatch. You're listening to Get Serial with Emily and Tom.
Indeed you are. Now, we do have some feedback this morning from one of our regular listeners and a former host, actually, Liam Smith-Thompson. He's let us know, just a little tip, we don't work or shop in the Melbourne CBD. We just protest, which I think is fair. I mean, Melburnians are just into protesting. It's like Chicago and parades. They just love it.
Love protesting, and I love that about them.
And also, he says here, Bendigo or Ballarat, they're the same, right? No, Liam, they are not the same. How dare you make that comparison? They're two completely different mining towns, starting with B. We've had a great first hour of the morning. We've talked about the news which is happening in the world. We've, of course, introduced ourselves to our audience. And don't forget that if you missed any of the segments from our first hour, you can catch them again on our podcast via omni.fm, and we'll also be uploading that to our socials. We've got another fun-filled hour coming up for you soon, but stick around, and we'll be back with more Get Serial right after this.
Let's get ready to get
serial.
It is just after 7 o'clock. This is Get Serial here on Sin, coming to you on 90.7 FM and across Australia on digital radio, and of course on the World Wide Web via Sin, S-Y-N, that is, .org.au. I am Tom, I'm with my co-host Emily.
Yes, here we are, and we've got an exciting hour coming up. We will be chatting about all things adult.
That indeed we do. We've also got a segment where we talk about what happened on this day in history. We'll be talking about doing something we shouldn't have done after hours. We'll be debating whether things are still cool, if our parents catch on to them. And, lots of other fun stuff coming your way over the next hour. But what we're going to do for you now is play a little bit of Beggar Boy. This is Cool as Hell, and you are listening to Get Serial.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sin, we're always on.
And that was Have It All by Cosmos Midnight Feet, Age, Sex, Location. And before that, you heard Cool as Hell by Baker Boy. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with Tom and Emily. And right now, we're going to be talking about what happened on this day in history.
That we are, because Emily and I are huge history buffs, and we love talking about what happened on this day so many years ago. I think it's just, you know, a habit I picked up from my history teacher back in high school. Possibly. But anyway, Emily, why don't you start us off? What happened on this day in history, being October 8th?
October 8th, on this day in 1998, probably the biggest thing that happened on this day is the Clinton impeachment. Bit topical?
Very topical, yes, because, of course, the Democrats in America at the moment are making moves to impeach the Republican president, Donald Trump. So just remind our listeners, Emily, what happened with the Clinton impeachment?
It's a long story of old Clinton boy. So he was kind of popular. He was quite popular, as was Hillary together. Mm. And then, well, some sexy times happened.
Yes.
Which was,
so he was not so much accused, but it was basically revealed that William Jefferson Clinton had an affair with one of his staff interns, Monica Lewinsky.
Yep.
And there was this huge tabloid media sensation. And the Republicans saw him unfit for office, essentially. He said that he'd abused his power, that he'd lied to Congress, and that he'd brought shame to the role of the presidency. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing here, obviously.
But like, that's the interesting thing, though, is that it was that sex scandal with Monica Lewinsky, which at the time is interesting because she was, like, Monica herself was very much harassed for it as well, despite the fact she was a very young intern. And looking back on it now, she's come out and gone, actually, hang on, that was a huge, terrible thing that happened to me, which I agree with. Like, that was awful. And Clinton, I'm still thinking, is a bit creepy.
Yeah, and that's thanks to the Time's Up and Me Too movement. It's been reframed, this whole scenario, because at the time it was just like, you know, a fling, essentially, as seen as. But today it's seen as Clinton abusing his power and Monica Lewinsky being powerless, essentially. She wasn't in the position to say no because she was employed at the White House.
And he's the president.
Mm.
And the thing is, though, is that it's interesting looking back on it now on the basis that Clinton was impeached for a sex scandal, and yet the current president was elected despite a series of sex scandals. Like, he abused so many women, and he made fun of it, and he hung out with actual pedophiles. So,
yeah, it's kind of bizarre. But, of course, Trump isn't being impeached for that specifically. It's more for his roles with Russia. So he's, again, seeing been seen to abuse his power and bring, again, I'm paraphrasing, shame to the presidency, but for very different reasons.
Very different reasons. Mm. And if anything, very valid reasons, more valid, because he's actually potentially letting other countries influence American elections.
Well, yeah, just the other week he was saying that China, he was openly saying that China should spy on Joe Biden.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of also why the impeachment stuff is happening, is because he asked, what was it, the Prime Minister of the Ukraine to mm-hmm. like look into that? And it's yeah. like, no, Trump, no, that's
no. your job, not mine.
Please don't tell other countries to spy on America. That's not good leadership.
So, yes, the Clinton impeachment proceedings began on this day in 1998. Of course, it came to nothing. So yeah. it received a majority in the House of Representatives, but it couldn't get a majority in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So Clinton kept his job. And I think he ended his presidency with one of the highest approval ratings in history yeah. at the time.
Well, yeah, it's because we don't care when leaders sexually abuse women.
Well, in the 90s, these days, you know. Anyhow, also on this day in history, in 1967, the revolutionary communist guerrilla Che Guevara was captured in Bolivia. He was executed the very next day by a firing squad. The world record for water speed was set in Australia on this day in 1978. The driver, whose name was, if I just bring up my notes here, his name is Ken Warby. He turned 80 just this year. He set a world record with a jet-powered boat made of wood and fiberglass on Blowering Dam in New South Wales, of 511 kilometres an hour.
Oh.
I know. That is a record which still stands to this very day, 41 years on. Can you believe it?
That's very, very fast. I'm not sure I wouldn't be in that vehicle.
And yeah, and the reason why it still stands is because there have been many attempts to break the water speed record, and most of them have ended in tragedy because the way water moves as the boat glides across it, you know, it's not like, say, a car running across tarmac. It becomes very volatile. Extraordinary stuff. What else have we got here? Cats opened on Broadway in New York on this day in 1982. It went on to run on Broadway for a record 19 years, 11 months and 3 days.
Yes.
So it was just short of 20 years when it was taken off the Broadway schedule.
And now we have a live action movie of it. Coming soon, and I'm not sure if everyone's seen the trailer for it, but nightmares.
Oh, it's fascinating and almost extraordinary stuff, that trailer. What else have we got here? Chevy Chase and R.L. Stein both turned 76 today. They were both born in 1943. Chevy Chase, of course, being famous comedic actor. R.L. Stein being the author of the Goosebumps books. Another actor, Sigourney Weaver, turned 70 today. She's famous for her roles in Ghostbusters and Alien, among other things. And also with her birthday today is Bruno Mars, who, can you believe it, turns 34.
He does not look 34.
He does not look 34. I just imagine him as some guy in his 20s, and I imagine he'll always be seen that way.
Yeah, he's going to be in his 20s until suddenly he's 80,
yes.
I feel.
I imagine him more as sort of like a Lionel Richie. So someone who just doesn't appear to age, and then one day you realise, wow, he's really old.
Yeah.
But anyhow, happy birthday to all of our celebrities there. What we might do to celebrate is play a little bit of Bruno Mars for you here on Get Serial. This is Treasure, and you are listening to Emily and Tom, the Tuesday team.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sin. We're always on.
Bit of a throwback there with Dynamite from Asta, Feet All Day. And before that, it was Treasure by Birthday Boy Bruno Mars. You're listening to Get Serial with Tom and Emily.
And we wanted to talk about now a very, very strange question, potentially incriminating. Emily, have you ever been somewhere you shouldn't have after hours?
I am a good girl.
That is good, because my sister is not. Now, I'm gonna share with everyone what she did over her weekend. So, she was at a 24th birthday party, and at about 9 or 10 p.m., she gets a text from one of her mutual friends, and they say they manage what's known as a family fun center. So, you know, you've got a rollerblading, laser tag, mini golf, all that sort of thing. So he texts her and says, yeah, I'm just on my way to the party now. I'm locking up, you know, the center. And then her friend who's having the party says, well, if you're locking up the centre and no one's there, why don't we just go and hang out there? And so they did. So they drove all the way out here. They did laser tag after hours, rollerblading and mini golf. They essentially had the whole centre to themselves. And I am absolutely jealous, I have to tell you, because I never got up to that much fun when I was young.
Well, it does sound like a lot of fun, especially laser tag. Mm. Like, I never really did any laser tag until I was about 18.
Are you serious?
I missed out on my childhood. No, I was too cool for that. I played the sports, like, outdoor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I was exactly the opposite. I played indoor sports, and laser tag was one of my favourites, actually.
Yeah, it's fun. You can shoot people.
And my sister said the other benefit of this was because there were no other staff members around, you could break the rules. You know,
running?
Not so much running, but, you know, the things they tell you not to do in laser tag, like crouching and hiding behind things and leaping over things. They did all that sort of thing. And as well as that, mini golf, you know, you can kick the ball in without anybody noticing.
That's a rule I think that is very valid. If you're kicking the ball in mini golf, that's no longer golf. That is a terrible form of soccer. Yeah,
it's soccer with a very tiny and very hard ball.
Less fun soccer.
So are you seriously telling me, Emily, that you never got up to any shenanigans at all?
Oh, I got up to shenanigans just during daylight hours. Oh. I go to bed early.
Well, you're already doing better than me, that's for sure. So, yeah, and we'd like to know from you, our listeners, have you ever done something after hours? Have you ever snuck into a place you shouldn't have? Maybe you played on the playground at school at 10 p.m. at night, had a bit of fun there. Please let us know for all our socials. Remember, our handle is @GetCereal, and be careful because we might want to share them on air. What we're going to do now is play for you bit of quivers. This is You're Not Always On My Mind. And after this, we're going to be talking about what it's like to be an adult, Emily and I. This is Get Cereal on Sin.
Sin, where young people run the show.
That was You're Not Always On My Mind by Quivers. This is Get Cereal on Sin with Emily and Tom. And we're going to be talking about adulting. This is going to be a recurring segment over the next 10 weeks we're on air, because Emily and I are at the age where we're old enough to be doing old people things, but we're still young enough to be considered adolescents and juveniles in a way. And there's this really interesting juxtaposition between all our friends happening at the moment.
Yeah, there really is, because I do have friends that have gotten married, but at the same time, I've gotten friends that are still getting up to shenanigans.
Yes.
Like, not even a little bit close to being adults.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating stuff. I mean, I'm single at the moment, and the idea of getting married is just a completely foreign concept to me. But everyone else seems to be getting right into it, which is absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, which is absolutely terrifying. Like, I didn't know what to do with myself at the wedding. I was just like, oh, so you're committing to each other for life?
Yeah, you're sort of like thinking to yourself, where did I go wrong?
Like, how am I here? Why are these people friends with me? Yeah. I am a child. Like, I am a child at heart, fully. So
am I. I do a podcast about Thomas the Tank Engine, so yeah, I'm pretty much a child in a grown man's body.
Very much so. And, like, you have these moments where you just realise, where you just go, oh, I'm adult now. Me big person now. And for my moment, it was, I was with one of my mates. We were just hanging out at my house, which, you know, I pay rent and bills. Crazy stuff here. And we were just both like, oh, could really, really go for a cake. If only we had cake. And then we both looked at each other and we're like, oh my God, we're adults. We have licenses. We have cars. The shop is just over there. We can go and, like, buy a cake and just have a cake now. Like, I don't even need to message my mom. I don't need to go, Mom, can I please have this? No. She has no say in my life whatsoever. She's in Perth. What's she going to do? So we went out and we got this cake. Come home, have a couple slices. We're living our lives. We're like, this is amazing. This is the best thing we've ever done. Until you realize, oh, now I have a cake. There's so much cake. Oh my God. I can't eat all this cake. So it has to go in the fridge. And then for the next week, there's just this cake. You need an event to eat a cake, everyone.
You do. You need friends, you need family, you need a get-together in order to eat cake.
Yeah, cake isn't good after the fifth slice, and yet you have it, and there's suddenly still an entire cake there because it's meant for a lot of people.
I think there are two important questions we need to ask, Emily. How big was this cake, and what sort of cake was it?
It was a chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, child.
Yes.
And the thing is, it wouldn't even have been that big, right? Because I'm trying to figure out, I'm bad at size. Numbers are not my friend. But it was enough to take up half the shelf of my fridge, which meant that when I cooked dinner that night, I didn't really have enough room to put the leftovers in.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, God, what are my choices right now? Bad.
Yeah, I know that struggle. I got a small fridge as well. But it's the same with just about any food, really, because I find myself buying big bags of lettuce thinking it will easily last me like the week, and then it starts going off after about 5 days and you've still got half the bag left and you think to yourself, okay, what am I going to do with the rest of this? Because we don't have a compost bin and, you know, there's only two of us living in our apartments at the moment. So what are we supposed to do? We can't just throw it out. That's a waste of food.
Exactly. But, like, the idea that food goes off, foreign concept until I became an adult, because growing up, food never went off, I guess, because my mum either used it or she would throw it out. Whereas now, sometimes I open the fridge and I'm like, oh, that's off. Oh, what? Fruit goes off?
Yes, it does go off. And it's even a problem which is affecting my parents at the moment because they've become empty nesters and they usually buy like 2 loaves of bread, you know, a huge bottle of milk, that sort of thing. And it's getting to the stage where I'm coming home and I'm finding mold on the bread and that the milk has gone off. And I say to them, why aren't you eating these things? And they say, because you're not here to eat it.
It's just then don't, too much.
Then don't buy all that food. You don't need it.
God, yeah. No, I can relate to that. My mum and dad still both cook for 6 people.
Yeah.
It's like, you've only got 1 kid at home, not 4.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, how do you do proportions?
No, that's a problem I've faced as well because, again, I've been cooking for my family and then when I cook for myself, I find that I've got too many servings of vegetables, I've cooked too much chicken and it's like, okay, what do I do with this now? I don't want it tomorrow night because, you know, I need a balanced diet, so... So what are we going to do? What is one to do?
What is one to do? Suffer. That's been my answer thus far.
Oh, there. So, yeah, and of course, this is going to be an ongoing segment, so we'll have all sorts of shenanigans about being an adult for you over the next few weeks. Of course, share some of your own with us at Get Cereal on all our socials. We're going to Giving Circle by Huntley right now. This is Get Cereal on Sin with Emily and Tom.
Cheaper than a smashed avocado and turmeric latte.
Get Cereal.
And that was Giving Circle by Huntley. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin with Tom and Emily.
And I've got another question for you, Emily, here on this Tuesday morning. Are things still cool once your parents catch on to them?
This is going to start a debate because, in my opinion, yeah, if anything, makes it more cool.
Well, I beg to differ because over the weekend, my parents went to a college reunion and one of their friends got them playing, get this, Cards Against Humanity. You know, the party game that everybody plays in university frat houses and at 18th birthday parties. They've caught on to it, apparently, and they really enjoyed themselves.
See, I would love for my mum and dad to play Cards Against Humanity because that would be so funny.
But wouldn't it be really awkward as well? Because a lot of those cards are, you know, sexually explicit. So, you know, it makes for some awkward laughter and conversations around the dinner table.
Look, I don't think awkward exists in my family at this point. My parents have, in fact, told me exactly how I was conceived before. Spoiler alert, by accident.
Oh, well, at least they're honest.
They are very honest. But yeah, no, my mum and dad are very cool. I think they're just so funny. My dad is a tradie. Mm. He is a plumber. And he is the Aussiest, most bogan bloke.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both from country Western Australia as a starting point. Dad's from Geraldton, mum's from Muckambooden.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever they get into anything new, it's exciting because it's like, yeah, you've been stuck in like the 1960s, so it's great. Dad got me into Snapchat, in fact.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Dad got me into Snapchat back in the day when it was still a big thing. He was on it before I was. And in fact, only reason I got Snapchat was because my dad strong-armed me into getting it because he was like, oi, Emily, I've got some photos I want to send you. So you need to download this Snap app. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, Dad. And the first photo he sent me was of a sheep. And the caption was, small llama. And honestly, iconic. So good. And then most of his Snapchat since then had just been him on a roof. And the captions have been, on a roof. Truly great content. Thank you, Father.
But the other reason why I brought this up is because we had this whole debate in our house once I returned home about you know, how the game works, because my dad was saying, you know, it's a stupid game because, you know, nobody gets your sense of humour. You put out this really funny card and they're like, I don't get it. And I had to explain to him, no, Dad, the whole point of Cards Against Humanity is you've got to read the other person's sense of humour. So you've got to, you know, select a card that appeals to them in order to win the game. It's all about knowing your opponent, Emily.
It's the tactic. Mm. And you always have like those one, that one card that you know that your friend will always pick. Mm. For me, it's bees.
Bees.
It doesn't matter what the context is. The second you play bees, yeah. I'm like, yes. Mm. Winner.
Yeah, I've got a group of friends who are Nick Cage fans, so every time I present that one, you know, obviously Wicker Man comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
That huge cult movie with that silly, silly scene in it. But,
yeah, that's a great film.
Hmm. So, you're of the argument, Emily, that things are cool if your parents catch on to them and remain cool.
Remain cool for eternity.
Yeah, well, whereas I'm skeptical. I think, well, you know, once your parents catch on to things, it's kind of like it becomes a fad, I think. I think Cards Against Humanity is reaching that phase where it is becoming a fad, I'm sorry to say. Yeah, I reckon we've gotten all the enjoyment we can out of it, and it's just, yeah, move on to the next party game.
What would the next party game be, though?
I have no idea. I haven't been keeping up. Ticket to Ride, maybe? Have you played Ticket to Ride?
I love that game so much.
It is brilliant. Yeah. I got into it a couple of years ago, and I've just been telling everybody about it, and now everyone I know is getting into it.
Yeah, it's really fun, although when I got into it, it was more than a couple of years ago. Look, me being the OG.
Yes.
And it was weird because, you know, Settlers of Catan?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the much bigger, more famous game.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first played it, my friend was like, oh, have you played Ticket to Ride before? And I said, no. How do you play? And they're like, well, it's like Settlers of Catan except trains. And I was like, what's Settlers of Catan? Because once again, I played sports growing up. I didn't do games at all. Like, I was literally always outside. So I'm only just getting into all this, like, nerd culture stuff.
Oh, you've really missed out, Emily, I tell you. Like,
you see, yeah.
As long as you're getting onto it now, though, that you're at university, you know, I think that's good. I mean, it would be no good if, say, you were 50 or 60 years old and just getting into Cards Against Humanity. In fairness, the game's, like, only 10 years or so old.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's had its time, let's say.
Yeah, it's had its run.
Let's go to Cousin Tony's brand new Firebird now with their song Best Face to London. You are listening to Get Cereal on Sin with Emily and Tom.
Get Cereal, just like a chocolate milkshake, only crunchy.
That was Best Face to London by Cousin Tony's brand new Firebird. You are listening to Get Cereal on Sin with Emily or Tom. We've done lots of fun stuff over the past couple of hours, haven't we, Emily?
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff. Like, we've started off with a lot of news, which I love. Mm. Big fan of the news myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to write it someday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved on to learning a bit more about us.
That indeed we did. And, of course, we've also talked about what happened on this day in history. We've talked about whether things are still cool once our parents start doing them.
They are still cool.
I disagree, but I'm sure we'll talk about that more as the season progresses. We've also talked about doing fun stuff after hours when we shouldn't have been. And, of course, we've started our new segment on adulting and all the weird and wonderful things that happen once we leave home and, you know, essentially become adults. Yeah, fascinating stuff. Now, don't forget, if you missed anything from the past couple of hours here on Get Cereal, we do have a podcast which we upload to omni.fm as well as iTunes and Spotify. You can listen to us, stream us, download us from there. And, of course, you can keep connected with us through all of our social media channels. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I think we're also on Snapchat, Emily. So,
oh, we're on Snapchat.
Yeah, yeah. So if you wanted to send us a snap through there, then you can. You know, there's so much fun we're having, aren't we?
Having a great time. Yeah. Some good conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's still 9 weeks of this to go. Yeah, who knows where we're going to go from here. What we're going to do now is play for you Ujimoto. This is her song Do You Think About Me, and this is Get Cereal with Emily and Tom.
Get Cereal, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sin 90.7.
Let's get ready to shop!
Cereal.
It is just past 8 o'clock here on Get Cereal. You are listening to Tom and Emily, the Tuesday team, on the 8th of October. We are so pleased to have your company this morning, and we are heading into the final hour of our show right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a very exciting final hour. We're going to kick it off with an interview, phoner, with Amy V.
Yeah, so you've got that to look forward to very shortly. We're also going to be talking about TV series that are on at the moment that we recommend, as well as bad hot takes and so many, many more. But we're going to kick off this hour with another throwback for you. This is a Sneaky Sound System with their song, I Love It. You are listening to Get Cereal.
Sin, where young people run the show.
That was Call Us Crazy by Emmy Zalzna.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we heard We Come Together by Goldfish, feat. Sakhail Molesh. And before that, it was I Love It by Sneaky Sound System. You're listening to Get Cereal with Emily and Tom.
That indeed you are. And on the right line right now, we have musician Amy V, who's here to talk her new album and her upcoming gig in St Kilda. Welcome to Get Cereal, Amy.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Well, we're very pleased to have you on the show. Now, before we get into the new album, I wanted to talk about one album you released last year, Red Desert Hearts. Now, you crowdfunded that album. I wanted to know why you decided to take that route and what are the benefits of crowdfunding in your mind?
Yeah, look, so what happened was I released a single called Red Desert Heart, which actually got to record at the brand new studios in Sydney, Studio 301, as part of a prize that I won. And so I'd kind of done this big full production single, and I had all these other songs ready to record, but I had sort of no means to do it at that time. And so I reached out to, you know, my friends and fans and followers and said, you know, what do you think about everybody kind of pitching in and we make this album together? And so people were pretty keen, and so they kind of said, yeah, we'll get behind you. And I love the crowdfunding model because nobody loses. You know, basically I get to make my album, but also people get something in return. So they either get a pre-release of the album or they can choose from a whole bunch of different rewards. So, you know, and everybody kind of feels like they own a little bit of it. So, it's really good in that sense. And it also kind of helps me to feel a little bit more connected to the people who are listening to my music. There's sort of that more personal interaction with people that you don't always get. So it was successful. We managed to raise the funds, and then we recorded the album Same Skin, which came out a couple of months ago, and that is of course the reason that I'm on the road now. I'm literally about to jump in my car today and head down to Melbourne for the very first show of the tour, which is tomorrow night in St Kilda.
Okay, so where are you at the moment, Amy? Where are you driving from?
So I'm based in Newcastle in New South Wales.
Ooh, okay.
Just up the road from Sydney, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got a long drive ahead of you, and I think there's some wet weather today, so you might want to watch out.
Yeah, look, I'm going to take it super easy today, but I've actually been looking forward to this for ages, because it's been a while since I've done a proper road trip, and I love them. I'm really good in my own company. I'm like, just, you know, listening to music that I haven't had a chance to listen to and podcasts and all that kind of stuff, so I'm going to be super crazy.
That's fabulous. Now, as we mentioned, your new album is Same Skin. It's come out within a year of Red Desert Heart. I'm wanting to know, where did you find that creative energy to make two albums within a year?
Yeah, so, look, I already had loads of stuff sitting around. It was just, again, like I said, it was just actually having the means to put it down and so that I could share it with people. So once we actually had the crowdfunding stuff underway, I just went into the studio. It's the same studio I've recorded my last couple of recordings in. Here in Newcastle, it's called Hazy Cosmic Dive. And I just literally just went in for a week and just churned out everything. So, yeah, it wasn't really about finding the inspiration, because I feel like the songs were kind of already there. It was just about, you know, finding a way to kind of represent the songs well. So, yeah.
Yes, and this album, I have noticed that it does follow the theme of years and time. Mm. So, what really made you want to focus on that theme for this album?
Look, I always say the best kind of album is one that kind of represents the artist at that point in time and represents them accurately. And I feel like, you know, it's been a while since my last full-length album, and a lot has happened in that time. You know, I started a family, I've lost important people in my life, I've moved around a lot, and I think it just really represents that part of my experience and my story. And a lot of that has been, you know, that sort of contemplating the impact of time and how that changes you as a person. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of where those things come from.
Now, Amy, I was reading some background information on you, obviously, before I interviewed this morning. Now, apparently your dad is the one who pressured you into becoming a musician because he said that you should become part of a band. Has that been a common theme in your life? Has your dad really been what's driven you to, you know, pursue a career in music?
Yeah, he really got me started. So he's still a working singer and musician. And, you know, I started playing piano when I was super young, like 5 or 6, and I was really, really shy. I never wanted to play in front of anyone. And he's the one that kind of got me out of, you know, out of my shyness, I guess, and sort of pushed me to do some performing. And I joined a band when I was like 13 or 14, playing keys and just doing a little bit of singing. And he just sort of kept encouraging me. I'm grateful for that now because I don't know if I ever would have had the courage to do it if he sort of hadn't given me that push.
So, did you say your dad's also a musician?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And I grew up with, you know, him doing band gigs and going to concerts, and yeah, there's always musical instruments in the house. I was like the opposite of every other kid. So every other kid was like, I want to be in a band, and then he was like, no, you better have a serious career. But my parents were really pushing it to do the music thing. So, you know, I said I wanted to go to music and study psychology, and they're like, why do you want to do that? It was pretty weird, but that was cool parents.
Is your sound at all similar to your father's?
No, actually not really at all. My dad sort of, you know, he had some really cool taste when I was growing up. He kind of introduced me to like Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and all those kind of cool 70s rock bands. And then, but then he suddenly found a passion for like 80s pop music. And that's kind of where he lost me for a while. So, you know, he's a huge John Farnham fan. He's got a very Farnham-esque tone in his voice. And, you know, that's kind of his bag, which is great. You know, I think he's amazing. But, yeah, it's a little bit different to the stuff that I do.
That's fabulous. Now, Amy, as you mentioned before, you are making the trip from Newcastle to Melbourne today to perform in St Kilda tomorrow night at the Memo Music Hall. Is this your first time playing at the venue?
It's my first time there, yeah. But look, I've heard some great stuff about that venue, and it's really cool. Actually, a friend of mine who helped me put together that gig is a guy from a band called Del Sinki, who's also performing on the night. They're one of the opening acts, and he highly recommended it. So I'm like, if you think it's good, then I'm going to do it. So, and it's actually the venue, the gig that we're doing is kind of inside that venue. It's called Amber Lounge, and it's like a super intimate space. And that's what I wanted for all the gigs on this tour, was to be playing to really small, kind of warm, cozy rooms, and to be able to like look people in the eye. I think that's really important. So, yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Do you ever have any fears, Amy, when you're performing at a new venue or a place that you've never been before?
Yeah, I think there's always that little bit of anxiety. I mean, that's probably just me, but, there's always that thing of, like, you know, are people going to show up? Are they going to like it? Is the sound going to be all right? There's all of that stuff that comes with, you know, putting on a new show. And this is actually, like I said, it's the first gig of the tour as well, so there's all that stuff that goes with, is the set going to work, you know, I hope it's going to be okay, but I'm really confident with my band. I've got some really cool musos playing with me on stage. I've got my producer, Derek Hudson, and another really good friend of mine, Andrew Sanford. They're all like multi-instrumentalists and really, really competent musicians, and they love playing the stuff, which is the most important thing, so I think it's going to be a good vibe.
Excellent. Amy, we are almost out of time, but before we let you go, can you just remind us what time your gig is taking place tomorrow and where we can go for more information and tickets?
Sure. All the information is on my own website, mlb.com. All the ticketing links are up there. The gig is, like you said, at Mimo Music Hall in St Kilda, and the doors open at 7:30.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining Emily and I on Get Serial this morning, and we wish you all the best with the gig tomorrow night.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
That's quite all right. And we are going to give our listeners a taste now of what you can expect from Amy's show. This is a single from her new album, Same Skin. It's Paper and Wood. You are listening to Get Serial on Sin.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sin, we're always on.
You just heard there Paper and Wood by Amy V from her new album Same Skin. She is, of course, performing in St Kilda at Memo Music Hall tomorrow night, so you definitely don't want to miss out on that one. And, of course, we'll be uploading our interview with Amy to all our socials later today. You are listening to Get Serial with Emily and Tom. And in the 24 minutes we've still got left with you, we thought we might talk about some TV shows we've been watching recently and that we recommend to you. So, Emily, let's start with you. What have you got for us?
So, I've got a show that's streaming now called Dark. There's two seasons of it. And warning for people that don't like reading subtitles, because reading hard. It is a German show, so it is entirely subtitled. But it is so worth the read. Like, it's a very mind-bending show in that you watch the first episode and you're like, think you know what's going to happen? And then by the last episode of the second season, you're like, whoa, oh God. My friends and I got very, very into it. And a couple of us actually tried to make a family tree because we just need to track what was happening. And then, like, every episode we had to, like, add something or take it away, or we're like, oh my God. But I love shows like that. Yeah, just everything's about theorizing. It's like, oh, I reckon such and such is who.
Okay, so if you were to describe the show in the most basic terms, Emily, what would you say about it?
Well, I would say that Dark is twisty.
So, like, constantly twisty? Like, it's constantly throwing stuff at you?
It's throwing stuff at you because this is not a spoiler because it's very, very, very first episode. Time travel.
Ooh.
And the impacts of it.
Love myself a bit of time travel.
Love some time travel. There's a lot of it. And then it gets wild.
How wild are we talking?
We're talking, I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to spoil anything. But we're talking the fact that not only does the past influence the future, the future influences the past.
Ooh. Very wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey, as the doctor would say.
Yeah, exactly.
There we are. So, that's Dark. The one I wanted to share with our audiences was Chernobyl, which you've probably all heard about by now.
And probably
most of you have seen by now, but it's just come out on DVD and Blu-ray. So, if you're looking for a non-subscription TV / legal means of watching it, then this is probably your best bet. And yeah, what's so fascinating about this series is just how everything gets worse. It just becomes bleaker and darker, and you're just thrown deeper into this disaster and the drama that follows it. You know, it's just, it's almost depressing to watch, really. But, you know, at the same time, it's just really fascinating stuff. It takes this real-life event, and you know, most of which is accurate, and it turns it into this story which you just can't look away from. You're just constantly fixed. You're constantly wondering what happens next. When is this going to get better? And it just removes all those expectations, any hope that you had for these characters, and it's just like, yeah.
See, what I always find interesting about shows like Chernobyl when they are based on real events is that knowing the history, you watch it and you know kind of what's going to happen. You know, it's not looking good for these people. And yet you still have that hope.
Yes, but at the same time, you become attached to these characters and you sympathize with them, you warm up to them. And, you know, that's the reason why you stick with the series, because you want to know what happens to these people.
Yeah.
But you know about the disaster. You know, it's kind of like watching an old war movie, really. You know the history. You kind of know what's going to happen. But you want to know whether this particular character makes it through, and you're egging for them to make it through.
Yeah.
And to, you know, have that happy ending that they so properly deserve.
Yeah, it's an absolute throwback to Titanic, I'm sure. Mm. We know what happens.
Yeah, I was actually thinking more along the lines of Dunkirk, the Christopher Nolan war movie, because we sort of have a sense of what happens. But at the same time, we become attached to these characters and we want to know what their outcome is.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's that kind of thing. So that was Chernobyl, which is out on DVD, and Dark, which is streaming on the internet right now. Thank you for that, Emily. I'll definitely catch up with that one at some point.
I reckon you should.
Yep. And what we're going to play for you now is a little bit of Skipping Girl by Mosquito Coast. This is Get Serial on a Tuesday with Emily and Tom.
Sin, where young people run the show.
That was Mosquito Coast with Skipping Girl there. You are listening to Get Serial on Sin. You're still with Emily and Tom, and we wanted to talk now about bad hot takes.
So, bad hot takes.
So everyone knows what hot takes are. They're basically opinions which are controversial or unpopular or might not be accepted by the mainstream. But in this case, we're looking at hot takes which are just plain bad, which have no merit whatsoever.
People try, you know. Mm. People try to make the hottest of the takes. Yeah. And I'm here to say, no, you're wrong. Incorrect. And a lot of the hot takes I get particularly, like, mad about are the ones relating to Disney princesses. I mean, there's a lot to criticise and that you can criticise about Disney princesses and Disney as a corporation. One of those things that you can't criticise, though, is Beauty and the Beast and the fact that Belle has Stockholm Syndrome.
So, yes, I've heard this one as well. So it's a strange one because I do agree with it in some respect, because on the one hand, she is stuck in this castle with this beast and she sort of grows to, you know, love him over time. But I think there's a bit more complexity to it than that, really. Yeah. So it's sort of like Belle is seeing the, you know, the beauty within the beast, essentially.
Yeah, that's what she falls in love with. Mm. And I've got many gripes with it. The first one is that you can't actually diagnose Stockholm Syndrome, especially because it's not fully recognised as a thing. So, number one. Number two, though, is that even if you were to try, she doesn't actually meet the criteria of it. Because, yeah, she does fall in love with her captor, but she doesn't start loving him until he stops being cruel to her. And, like, it's not like a I'll give you food kind of being nice to her. It's a here's my library because I heard you like books and I'm going to try save your life and I'm actually going to treat you like a nice person. Number one. Number two, she does try to escape. If she had Stockholm Syndrome, she wouldn't try to escape. Number three is that when she does get offered release, she doesn't go, I'll stay because I love you. She goes, bye, and, like, leaves. And she doesn't actually fall in love with him until after she's escaped and she makes the choice to come back. And she might not have made that choice if he hadn't been about to die. And that's the thing, is that the only reason she comes back is because she knows the villagers are going there to kill him. So it's like, that's not Stockholm Syndrome, it's love.
So, yes, we've completely dismissed that theory altogether there.
Gone.
One of the hot takes I really dislike is when there's a film or a song or a TV show that you're really into and you and everyone else is really into, and then you just come across that one person who says, it's overrated. It's like they're not willing enough, they're not willing to admit it's bad or that they don't like it, but, you know, at the same time, they don't think it's amazing. So they just go, yeah, it's overrated, as if their opinion it, you know, is valid over everybody else's.
Yeah.
It just frustrates me.
It's so frustrating. And it's not real criticism. Like, something being overrated doesn't mean it's bad. So, like, what are you trying to say about this? Like, why is it overrated? It's like, oh, no, it just is. Like, people say it's really good. It's like, okay, so why is it not really good? Oh, it's just overrated. Cool. Nice convo we're having here.
Yeah, exactly. So, either just say it's bad, or just move on. If you don't like something as much as everybody else does, that's fine, but just don't drag everybody else down with you.
Yeah. Also, it's not a personality trait to not like popular things, because I've found a lot of people do that, being like, oh, yeah, I'm so cool, I don't like this insert popular thing here. And I'm just like, that's not fun, what you're saying right now. I'm not having a good time. Like, don't talk about things that you hate just because you think that's, like, the fun thing.
Yeah.
Maybe add something.
Yeah, and I'm always really careful and cautious of this because I do film criticism on the side. And, often I'll come across a movie which everybody else is raving about but I don't like as much. So I've got to say to myself, okay, what can I draw from this that I like and why does everybody else like it? So yeah. I try to see it from that mindset rather than just saying, oh, it's horrible, I don't like the character and yada, yada, yada. So, it's always important to justify why you don't like something, but just don't say it's overrated because it's a non-criticism,
yeah,
people.
Not a valid criticism at all.
Hmm. And Belle doesn't have Stockholm Syndrome. Those are the two takeaways from this segment here. We're going to go into I'm Fine by Furla right now. This is Get Cereal with Emily and Tom on your Tuesday morning.
Cheaper than a smashed avocado and turmeric latte.
Get Cereal.
I'm Fine by Furla there. You are listening to Get Cereal with Emily and Tom here on Sin 90.7 FM in Melbourne and across Australia on digital radio. Now, our next segment we've got for you is reality TV, yay or nay. Emily, in which camp do you fall?
I fall quite firmly in the yay camp. Not that I watch any reality TV, but just the concept. I'm here for it.
So you don't watch TV and yet you appreciate it. So,
yeah.
Okay. This baffles me. Okay, so how can you be someone who doesn't watch TV and yet loves reality TV, Emily?
Because I've got an understanding and appreciation of the history of reality TV. Mm. Plus, I remember the reality TV shows from back in the day, back when streaming services weren't a thing and all you had was free-to-air, watching Big Brother. Great way to spend a Friday night.
Mm. And then, of course, there was Australian Idol as well on the same network.
Yes, Australian Idol. So good. Mm. So fantastic. Now, bring it back.
Well, you've got X Factor and The Voice, so they're sort of similar, aren't they?
Yeah, but, you know, there's something special about Australian Idol.
Mm.
I love Marsha.
Yeah, oh, Marsha. Everyone loves Marsha. She's been here since the 70s and, you know, we love her to bits. And, of course, without Australian Idol, we wouldn't have Shannon Knoll.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course. Or Guy Sebastian.
Or Guy Sebastian.
I did actually vote for Guy back in the day. Voice of an Angel. I was also Australian Idol was how I was introduced to Courtney Act.
Uh-huh.
You know, pretty big drag queen now.
Yes.
I just, like, love that that's her origin story.
Well, I'm sorry to say, Emily, I do not share your appreciation for reality TV. As someone who is creatively minded and does a lot of writing, it just sickens me to think that reality TV is the most popular form of entertainment in this country. Because we're just watching people, you know, it's just everyday people. If I wanted to find the ins and outs of what's happening in some ordinary person's lives, I could just walk out of this studio right now and literally talk to the first person I meet. Otherwise, I'm just not interested at all. You know, I want to see quality scripted drama. I don't want to see some catfight on television.
Well, you can see quality scripted drama on television, just Neighbours. No, 20 out of 10.
Oh,
best show.
Oh,
it's
dear.
So good. Because I love it. I love the drama. I don't need, like, the really highbrow, fancy stuff going on. When I'm watching TV, it's because I need a break from my life. Like, it's university. Stressful. Work. Stressful. And then I'm just like, okay, I need my brain to rot immediately. So then watching those really terrible soap operas, because I do watch soap operas. I watch a lot of really terrible soap operas or, you know, reality TV. It does the job. You know, it hits that sweet spot.
But that's where I'm different again, because I would prefer a show which is actually reflecting my own existence back at me. I want a show which is identifying with me, sympathizing with me, which is, you know, dealing with these struggles that everybody else deals with in their daily lives. I'm seeking validation, and I don't get that validation from reality TV.
I get so validated from reality TV, though. Like, on the rare occasions where I do switch it on and there it is, I'm just like, wow, I'm so much better than these people. Validating.
Oh, dearie me. I guess this is going to be an argument we're having throughout the season, I reckon.
I reckon so. And I will bring in the history next time just so you can appreciate it too.
Okay, then. Yeah, I'm willing to concede to that. But we might go to another song before we wrap up Get Cereal for this Tuesday. It is All I Want by Sunfruits. You are listening to Emily and Tom.
Get Cereal, just like a chocolate milkshake, only crunchy.
that there was the Sun Fruits with All I Want. You have been listening to Emily and Tom these past 3 hours on Get Serial here on Sin. It's been fun, our first show, Emily.
Oh, yeah, I've had a great time. Some good conversations and some great interviews.
Absolutely. So, yes, a reminder, our interview with Amy V, the musician, will be online hopefully later today. And, of course, she's got a gig tomorrow night in St Kilda at the Memo Music Hall. But we haven't just interviewed Amy V. We've talked about the news in the first hour, what's happened on this day in history. We've been discussing our parents and whether or not they can be cool like us.
My dad's more cool than me.
I find that hard to believe, Emily, I'm sorry to say. We've also talked about being somewhere after hours that we shouldn't have been, as well as just before reality TV, bad hot takes, and TV series we recommend. So, yeah, it's been a huge morning for us. Yeah,
very jam-packed, very media-heavy as well.
Yes, it has been, and I'm sure that's a theme that will be recurring over the weeks ahead with 100%. The Tuesday team.
If I have any say in it, then yes.
But anyway, that is all we have time for. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 6 for the Wednesday edition of Get Serial with Moni and Rubes. And, of course, Emily and I will be back again next Tuesday at the same time. And remember to keep in touch with us on all our socials throughout the week. Our handle, again, is Get Serial. It's been absolutely wonderful having your company this morning. We have, lots to share with you over the next few weeks, and we very much look forward to bringing it to you. But what we're going to do now is end our show with The Chats. This is their song Identity Theft. This has been Get Serial Tuesdays with Emily and Tom. Enjoy the rest of your day.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.